across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And he's telling the truth this time. Good morning. Hey there, Wisconsin. Nice to have you here. A beautiful day up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. 6:06 on this Tuesday, April 2nd. And whether you're listening on the radio, through the app, social media, or podcast, thanks for taking us along on your Tuesday morning. Got a question for you. Do you understand now why I urge so many people to vote early in person or by absentee ballot? Because there is a winter storm warning for a big chunk of northeast Wisconsin today. So a lot of folks are going to alter their plans to vote and maybe not go to a Donald Trump rally later today that's supposed to be held in Green Bay. But again, a nasty winter storm is hitting that area, so it's why folks like me tend to get that absentee voting done earlier, because you just never know what kinds of things are going to happen on Election Day. Or there could be the Brewers home opener, and people will be going to that as well. I'm going to talk to one of them in just a second, but first a reminder that if you want to reach the show, while we're here from 6 to 8 every weekday morning, our number is 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. We would love to have you join us at any point throughout the course of the day. It's Tuesday, so here in our first hour, we will visit with Christina Laurie, who puts together the daily newsletter for Up North News. So we'll hear some of the stories that she has been working on. We'll talk more about today's elections across Wisconsin. There's a presidential primary. There are local races. There's a couple of statewide issues that voters are weighing in on. We may be hearing in our second hour from Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez talking about the importance of voting. Also, with this being Tuesday, we tend to visit with our friend Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from the Merrill area. And this week, we're going to be talking about the progress that's being made, minor progress, but progress still the same, on reforming agricultural visas, which would be a game changer for the migrant farm workers who are keeping Wisconsin's dairy industry healthy. So we'll see if that is some kind of false hope or if there really is some kind of bipartisan movement on the horizon. So that and, Chad Holmes will be here too, of course, because it's Tuesday, and much more coming up along the way. Let me tell you right now about the winter storm warning, just the latest on it. The counties impacted are Marinette, Menominee, Oconto, Door, Shawano, Waupaca, Outagamie, Brown, Kewaunee, Washera, Winnebago, Calumet, and Manitowoc. And that includes the cities of Green Bay, Waupaca, Appleton, Shawano, Needham, and Asha. That winter storm warning goes into effect at 1 o'clock this afternoon, and it will be in effect for 24 hours till 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Expect some heavy snow, total accumulations between 8 and 12 inches, depending on the area. Some places in far northeast Wisconsin might get 14 inches or more. There will be lighter accumulations closer to the Lake Michigan shoreline. But then there's the winds. Everybody in Wisconsin is going to feel that today. Winds in that winter storm area gusting as high as 45 miles an hour, causing blowing and drifting snow tonight into tomorrow. For many other adjacent counties, there's a winter weather advisory, including Sauk, Dane, Jefferson, Dodge, Washington, and Sheboygan counties, where you'll have rain this morning, changing over to wet, heavy snow a little bit later on. So use all the caution necessary. And that includes folks who might have to head out to American Family Field for an unspring-like home opener. But we got a roof, which is more than I can say for some other teams, Mets. Here are 6 a.m. temperatures right now. It's 37 here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward comes in at 30 degrees. Park Falls, 32. Wausau, 34. Green Bay reporting 38 degrees. La Crosse is at 35. Wisconsin Rapids, 33. Oshkosh, 37. It's 38 in Madison, and it's 34 in Waukesha, where we find in his bright blue City Connect jersey that says Brew Crew on it, one Greg Bach getting set to attend today's home opener for the Brewers versus the Twins. What a fan you are. Look at that. Two different Brewer shirts and a Brewer cap. The man's ready for a game today.
Pat, I just need you to do me one favor today.
Yes?
Take me out to that ball game.
Take you out to the crowd?
Yeah, buy me some peanuts. Not some Cracker Jacks. They get stuck in my teeth.
Yeah, don't do that. No, nope.
And their prizes suck.
Always have. You've got the jersey, you've got the t-shirt, you've got the hat. Do you have the snow boots? Do you have a snow brush for the car? Because Brewers home openers back in the county stadium days, some of those were real character builders, in terms of the conditions.
Even if you were a four-year-old girl, you were taught how to be a man. Well, luckily, I believe that the weather down here, we're supposed to get some snow later on in the evening down by where I live in Kenosha. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be getting rain and wind. But either way, like you said, we got a roof, baby. I ain't got problems.
No. While I was away in Idaho for the weekend visiting a daughter and some grandsons, took note of the Brewers being able to sweep the Mets, but only after that rain out, for what was supposed to be the first day.
Yeah.
Because again, some places haven't figured out that you can build these things and not have to worry about the climate. So we'll be all right over it. I almost fell into the Miller Park thing again today. It's how many years has it been American Family Field?
Two.
Man, whatever it is, I'm I'm always in danger of slipping back into it. But it's just, I can hear it in your voice. You can hear it in my voice. We're always a little giddy when the home opener comes. And it's finally time to tune in for some Brewers baseball. The game against the Twins, the broadcast begins at 2:35 this afternoon. And you can hear the Brewers on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. So are you a home opener aficionado, or did this just time out well that you could get tickets?
It timed out well. I haven't been to a home opener since 2018 or 19. It's good to be back, and there are some there's actually one mitigating factor. I mean, usually I'm able to, if I can, I'll take the day off or a half a day, but there's always one mitigating factor that keeps me far, far away from a Brewers home opener that I just don't need in my life. And that is if we play the Cubs.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to be around those individuals. They're unwell.
And now a little cocky because, like, we stole your manager. And
did you see that video of them coming out to their big blaze of pyrotechnics? It's like, oh, they stole fireworks for a four-year-old. Cool deal. Oh my
goodness, they stopped at one of those roadside stands and got buy two and get five free because they're such cheapy pyrotechnics that greeted the Cubs as they came onto the field yesterday. So I like our odds better. And I can't wait to hear from you tomorrow about things like the big honking score video board and everything else there. So hopefully it's a lot of fun. Thank you very much for joining up with Kristen Lyerly yesterday again on Friday filling in. Thanks to some of the guests that we pre-recorded segments with Selena Heller, Deborah Cronmiller, Kyle Tharp, Dan Schumacher, Mark Jacob. Thanks to all of them for helping us make sure that we could have some full shows there on Friday and Monday instead of, complete and total reruns and let me get out to Idaho, where, it's always nice to see the mountains. We were in Idaho Falls, and so all the mountains are within sight. They're snow-capped, very lovely. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have winter weather at all. That's the best way to see snow in the mountains, is when it's snowing up on the top, but not where you are. And it's very lovely there.
Look at that far away, way, way far away snow.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I can handle that. And of course, you transfer always through the airport in Denver. And anybody who's flown into Denver knows that you land first in something like Jackson, Wyoming. And then the plane drives for about an hour to get to the terminal. And so between that, the late flights that we chose, we got back about a little over 3 hours ago here, but it was
nope.
Yeah, nope. Exactly. Yeah, there might be some snoring and drooling here along Lake Wissota coming up 2 hours from now. But we were able to make a full weekend of it. See the kids, see the grandkids. I feel a little often, it's not so much the late night. I feel very stiff and sore in places. And it occurred to me that we took the boys bowling yesterday. So apparently I accidentally exposed myself to a degree of something called exercise.
Well, at least you didn't expose yourself.
No, just to the notion of exercise. I'm feeling something that feels like I did something other than sit behind a desk all day.
That happened to me yesterday. I did Sunday. I put together furniture, and the next day I'm like, did I go for a run?
No, sometimes it's just we're a little on the sedentary side.
Yeah.
Anything is liable to make you say, wow, I feel like an Olympic athlete. I did take a photo of the scoreboard after the second frame because I opened the second game with two strikes in the first and second frames. And I took a picture right then and there because I knew that was a total accident that managed to happen.
I'm going to start calling you Pat Strikelow.
Hey, I like that. Okay. So yeah, we had a really good time. So it was good too, even though it involved a little moderate amount of exercise here. Hey, in terms of the election, if you are getting out there today and you need to know more about what's on your ballot or where to vote locally or your registration status, head over to myvote.wi.gov. That's the website for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It is a great site, makes it easy to see if you're registered, how to get registered, where to vote, and what all is on your ballot. Again, myvote.wi.gov. And again, you can register at the polls as well today, but remember to bring ID, not just ID like a driver's license, but if you're registering to vote, bring something that proves your residency, like a utility bill, something that has your name and address on there. There are some constitutional amendments on the ballot that deserve a no vote because they're nothing more than Republican mischief with trying to make it tougher for local governments to administer elections. And as we mentioned, former President Trump is planning to come to Green Bay later today. But again, there is that winter storm warning, so we'll see how that shakes out with things. And new this morning, the Biden campaign announces that President Biden will be flying to Wisconsin next Monday to talk about economic issues. We'll unpack more of the news coming up in just a bit, but first to tell you, wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to hear a lot of Fleetwood Mac today because of a landmark album that marks its anniversary today. Details in our history lesson coming up in about a half hour. There is a presidential primary today, but of course it has very little significance since both President Biden and former President Trump have locked up the nominations of their respective parties. You never know. With each campaign with each election cycle as it comes in, there have been years where the Wisconsin presidential primary was extremely noteworthy. I think a lot of folks would forget that 8 years ago today, when again there was a wide open presidential race because it was the end of President Obama's second term, so you had wide open races there, and it was Ted Cruz, if memory serves right, who won the primary here, not Donald Trump. Since that time, a whole lot of folks on the Republican side of the ledger who said they could never support Donald Trump, not only support him, but support a lot of what he has said and done, no matter how many times it's proven to be false, wrong, or hostile toward democracy. So he'll do all right today. There will be people voting, basically an uncommitted slate for today. But what I'm really going to be looking for, and it may be nothing, but I'll be curious to see Republican voters who show up today because they want to vote in their school board elections. There might be school referendums. There's those constitutional questions, things like that. Will they still vote for Trump as well? For all the talk about people on the Democratic side voting, uncommitted to make a statement about what's happening in the Middle East, I'm actually going to be looking at Nikki Haley's number. I'm curious. I'm not making any kind of prediction, but as I was looking through the ballot and everything, I thought, I wonder how many folks on the Republican side are going to say, nope. I'm going to put my, you know, check mark next to Nikki Haley's name or one of the other names. There's something like 6 Republican candidates on the ballot. So we'll be watching how that happens. And then we'll count up the votes and then we'll do it all over again on August 13th and then again on November 5th for the fall cycle, for the partisan elections, for Congress, for U.S. Senate, for legislature, for president. Again, the general election is November 5th. The primary for that, for legislature, Congress, things like that, will be August 13th. And again, that's not a date that most people are looking at and circling on their calendar to go vote. So again, this would be a good time to get signed up to have absentee ballots sent to you prior to each of these elections so that you can vote ahead of time and mail it back in or vote in person at your local clerk's office and cast that vote for the August primary and the November general election. There are something like 91 different school referendums out there. The biggest one is in the Milwaukee Public Schools District. We'll be talking about that tomorrow with a guest in our weekly homeroom segment. I do have to pass along, though, that there was a comment from one Republican state senator in the suburbs, Chris Kapinga of Delafield, put up a post yesterday that said the $252 million MPS referendum for Milwaukee is a great illustration of progressive liberals' approach to education and fiscal responsibility. One, withdraw as much money as possible from Wisconsinites' paychecks. Two, dish it out to union leadership under the guise of education. And three, take no accountability for plummeting student achievement. And I really want to tip my cap to the folks who responded to it, noting, for example, that Republicans have controlled the legislature for the better part of 2 different decades. Any failure is on them. One person goes by the name Captain Wisconsin said, "Aren't you guys in the midst of a 10-month paid vacation? Sounds like you have work to do," with a little clown face emoji. Another posted, "I can think of dozens of Wisconsin schools that could use an extra $2 million, but you chose to give $2 million to Michael Gableman for a wild goose chase." GB3 writes, "I've gone to some of your, quote, listening sessions where you don't listen at all. People have begged you to help address the state education funding formula, and you said, I prefer that voters choose through referendums, and now you're attacking those referendums." So it's good that people are calling out certain legislators, you know, for their doublespeak when it comes to their lack of support and outright hostility toward public education in Wisconsin. There is, as well, as I mentioned, the constitutional amendments. The one targets what conservatives like to call Zuckerbucks and try to ban private money. Again, the solution to that is to adequately fund local governments so that they don't have to go looking for private money to hold elections that are well-organized and safe and accurate. And much like the state isn't doing its share in helping fund education, which is why there's so many referendums there, they're not doing their share of helping pay for elections across Wisconsin, which is what is leading local governments to seek out, you know, some of these private grants. The other question deals with, you know, who can work on elections. And basically, if you read it literally, it means that nobody who isn't a direct hire in a clerk's office can work on an election, which opens up a real Pandora's box given the amount of volunteers that go into putting on an election and the occasional experts and consultants who come in and help with new systems and things like that. In both cases, these could have been bills. These are bills that would have been vetoed by the governor, of course, because they're unnecessary. But Republicans thought they would then just bypass the governor and go directly down the constitutional route. But in so doing so, you, again, risk continuing to politicize the state constitution. And it's, again, something that's not necessary and deserves, you know, no votes on there. Yesterday, and especially the day before on Sunday, on Easter, there was so much misinformation out there about the fact that the Easter holiday was also the same day as the National Transgender Day of Visibility, and people accusing the Biden administration of, you know, blatantly making Easter the same day as Transgender Visibility Day. And again, folks either had to be the people making, you know, those hateful remarks were either disingenuous or ignorant or willingly lying to supporters, because Easter is on different dates every year. It has to do with the, you know, when a certain moon comes up and the number of days before that. Easter changes dates all the time. Transgender Day of Visibility is always on March 31st, has been for many years. So this is what's called a coincidence. But the fact that people wanted to try to make something out of it, to basically put out some very hateful speech about, you know, our transgender friends and neighbors, that really helped expose a lot of them for, you know, what's inside of them, even as they were going to their Easter services. And then they took it a step further, saying that the White House Easter egg roll, which was taking place yesterday, that the rules there, you know, banned any kind of religious symbols on the eggs and on the decorations. But again, those rules have been in place for years and years for multiple administrations, Republican as well as Democratic. And it is just a reminder again that we have a right-wing media ecosystem that will lie or be willfully ignorant in order to advance a cause, rather than just being straight up honest with their viewers, with their listeners. There's a lot to say that you don't have to make up things to make your point. When you do, you're making a point, but it's not the point that you think you're making. Pam Yonke's Midwest Farm Report is coming up next, followed by Christina Lurie and The Uplift. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday morning. Just think what tomorrow will do. Don't stop. Welcome back and welcome to The Uplift, our chance to find out some of the stories that you could be getting if you get our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click on newsletter in the top banner, and become our latest subscriber to material that is assembled daily by Christina Lurie, who visits us every week to talk about some of those stories. Christina, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. Let's talk about three different stories that people could have been reading in our newsletter under the headline of what, Weird Wisconsin, shall we say? So we're going to get away from the hard news, and we're not even going to do a lot of food stuff this time around necessarily. But you know, people unusual people, unusual places. Let's put it that way. Does that sound fair?
Sure. Yeah, that's what we'll group all of these under.
There you go. So there was the story that folks might have heard me tease this in the newsletter several days back, but a Wisconsin woman who joins a very rare club when it comes to donating organs. Tell us about her story.
Yes. So, I mean, it's really the gift of a lifetime if you donate one organ one time. But a woman up in Appleton joined the rare club of donating two organs, of course, as a living donor. A lot of people will mark on their driver's license that they'll donate upon death. But a woman by the name of Joy Shoemaker donated, she's one of less than 100 living donors, who've donated both a kidney and part of their liver. So she gave a kidney 20 years ago to her sister, and then she recently gave part of her liver in another donation. The liver, it's interesting because it's the only organ in the body that can regenerate lost tissue in about 6 weeks. So it's less invasive, if you want to put it that way, as compared to donating a kidney. But again, it's really just the gift of a lifetime. And we're lucky to have so many good people doing good things here in Wisconsin. And it's also a great reminder to double check that you are marked down as you're an organ donor on your driver's license. It's a big myth. I've seen, it's one of the downsides of TikTok. I've seen a trend going around where people were trying to say that if you mark that on your driver's license, the paramedics are less likely to try and resuscitate you. And no, that is not true. No. So we just want to dispel that.
Good.
Please know that that's not going to happen, and make sure that you're.
Oh, this is a terrible accident scene. Quick, check that man's wallet. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. So, but the whole thing about donating part of your liver, I think I'd heard that once before sometime back, but that's still, you rarely hear about that. And, you know, again, just what a mystical, almost magical thing it is that we have things that can, to a degree, you know, regenerate and help other people. It's just very cool.
And as part of the donation process, when they say part of your liver, she donated 70% of her liver. Ooh. So that's a giant chunk that completely has already regenerated. She donated it in June of 21.
Wow. Good on her. That's and a great message for all of us that we could do more in providing gifts even after we're gone or as a living donor. All right, let's talk about now that we've gone from a unique woman when it comes to organ donation to a unique man when it comes to getting provisions for himself. Somebody in the Driftless area, I believe?
Yes. So you remember that time not that long ago when everyone wanted to completely avoid the grocery store or limit trips 4 years ago, yes, when everything shut down. Well, a man from the Driftless region decided to keep that going. You know, he was avoiding the grocery store. He hit the year mark. Then he hit the 2 year mark. Now he's going on 4 years and counting where Bill Robichaud has not gone to a grocery store. He forages. He also lives, again, in the Driftless region. So he has access to a lot of local farmers and he can just make deals directly with them. So I know this isn't possible for people who are listening to this from a major city. But it's just a cool endeavor that he decided to keep up on. So the main takeaway that I got from this is that a grocery store isn't necessarily a source of food. It's just a middleman. So especially as we go into farmers market season, you can get a ton of stuff directly from the producers, and then you're making more of a personal connection with them, as well as a more straightforward economic impact, giving the money straight to them instead of having to, you know, deal with the middleman of grocery stores. And then also, it's just a good reminder that if you don't live near a farm in a rural area, many Wisconsin farmers offer CSA programs, that's community supported agriculture. And now is the time to sign up. We're kind of nearing the end of that window. A lot of them are already filled up, but you can get a box of fresh produce shipped straight to you, or you can go to like a mutual third party pickup location. And you can select how frequently you want that to happen. So whether you want it once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, or if you want to share that box with a couple neighbors and all go in on it together, that's another great alternative and a great choice for people who want to just cut down on their grocery bills or the number of times they're going grocery shopping.
It's just so old school, you know, to get your provisions without having to go someplace that has, you know, is filled with processed food. Of course, the checkout registers. Although I do wonder how he's gotten by all these years without somebody offering him like free samples of, like, you know, frozen pizza or whatever's on special with the sample ladies. Do you do a lot of the free samples when you're grocery shopping?
Only at Costco. The ones somehow at other stores, they just always seem germier to me. You know, it's like a more confined space. Costco just has those high ceilings. They have everything nicely portioned there and they hand it to you in your individual cup. So yes, I'm a sample queen, but only at Costco. Okay. And I don't think there is a Costco in the Driftless region. I think their nearest one is probably closer to Madison.
Well, again, with the farms and everything there, that, you know, he seems perfectly located for, you know, living kind of off the land in this way. And then our last bit of uniquely Wisconsin comes from a bar of all places, and a bar in Madison. And I can't think of a bigger challenge for a bar in Wisconsin than to enforce the rule that this bar has. Tell us more.
Yes. So since it opened in the mid-60s, Le Tigre Lounge in Madison has only one rule: no swearing inside. And it's just funny because you would think that maybe they made that rule because this is like a super classy bar, but it's super kitschy. It's the complete opposite. Its name is like named after a tiger. So it's all the way in your face tiger decor on the inside. It's located in a strip mall on Madison's west side, right off the highway. But the owner, he's the second generation in his family that was this bar was passed down to. And he was just explaining that when he grew up, it was just not respectful for men to curse around women. I would say the other can be true too. I mean, not really respectful to curse it to strangers. You know, you can throw it in your own language, in your own house, in your own family. But his dad started the rule and the second generation owner, Paul, just decided to continue it. And it's a fun thing. Of course, I just want to put the disclaimer that customers aren't ejected if they swear upon the first time. You know, they're talked to nicely, rationalized with, and then they're being too unruly. Then they may get thrown out.
I think, first off, I've been to a Madison bar or two or 10, and especially around the state capitol there, it is darn near impossible, although I did just say darn near impossible, to talk about your day in government work without dropping an F-bomb or all kinds of other things that would get me in trouble with the FCC if I said it here. So it's much like our last story, it's almost quaint, it's almost refreshing that it's a reminder that people can actually go an hour or two without cussing. It can be done.
And maybe the differentiating factor here, Pat, is that you said it's hard to do around the Capitol, especially where you get a lot of those government workers. But this bar is on the west side of Madison. You know, that's just a much more peaceful, serene life out there near Middleton.
I was going to say, the Middleton life. You know, it's life. Life is good over there. And so, again, what's the name of the bar?
Le Tigre Lounge.
Okay.
It's not far off the Beltline if you're in that area.
I just wonder if anybody would be inspired and they'd put a rule like that where they are in their workplace or in their restaurant. And I wonder how long it would last. Because this one's what, a couple of generations? So
yeah, it's 60 years old. What I've seen, I've never really seen the outright rule before, but I have seen swear jars. I think we had one in my last newsroom. Newsrooms are notoriously full of colorful language that people can't necessarily say on air all the time. But I've never seen the all-out rule enforced. But the other side takeaway from this story, and just a great tip, I'm wondering if you see this by you, Pat, but so many of my favorite restaurants in the Madison area and surrounding suburbs are in strip malls. There's those like really unassuming places that really have delicious food. And I like to think that I do know good food because I am from the Chicago area and food is our everything. So I don't know, like, is that across Wisconsin or just unique to Madison, you think?
Oh, I think it's can be any place. I've had some of my favorite pizzas have come from places that were in a strip mall where they said, we don't want all of the overhead cost of having our own building. So we'll be located here. And I think the location doesn't matter nearly so much as the recipe. And if you've got a good recipe, which might include a good no swearing environment, then you are far more likely to be successful at whatever it is you're doing. So you get that story and more in our daily newsletter. Christina Lurie puts it together. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me back, Pat.
Never a problem. And again, stay on top of that unabashedly Wisconsin news by signing up for our newsletter. Oftentimes on Tuesdays, we'll meet with Sherita Booker as well, who puts together our most clicked, most read, most watched social media posts. And again, to get all of that, search for upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on social media feeds. We've still got a busy week ahead of us here. It's only Tuesday. And again, we're looking to talk to Hans Breitenmoser in our next hour about some movement on rules that deal with undocumented immigrants working on Wisconsin dairy farms. Now, we hope to hear from Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez later this morning. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to visit with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, who is marking 1 year in office since she was appointed to the post and is talking about her efforts to, again, defend democracy against attacks by the far right whether it's calling out members, a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission who served as a fake elector, or otherwise calling attention to the ways that democracy is under assault in Wisconsin. Sarah Godlewski will be talking about her work in the Secretary of State's office. And then on Thursday, our Women Win Wisconsin segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be a big one, because the spring elections will be past us by Thursday. And so we'll be talking about, you know, the next round of races that I told you about before, with an August primary and a November general election, and finding out, you know, basically the first wave of candidates is going to start announcing by the end of this week. They didn't want to be confused with the spring election candidates, and so you'll see some of them making announcements this week. So Kristen will give us a kind of a roadmap on what to expect, and we'll be joined on Thursday morning as well by Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, a group that we normally talk to every other Monday here on Up North News Radio. But again, the Motherhood for Good group is certainly monitoring things with Women Win Wisconsin and wanting to weigh in on some of what's going to be happening later this year as well. So stick around for that Thursday morning at 7:30 in our Women Win Wisconsin segment. Again, if you missed it earlier, the Brewers have their home opener today against the Minnesota Twins. You can catch that game on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN and Racine Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. 2:35 is when the broadcast begins this afternoon for a 3:05 or 3:15 first pitch over at American Family Field. The Bucks are in Washington, D.C. tonight, taking on the Washington Wizards. That game will be on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids and Lake Air in Amory, just those two stations, because the others will have the Brewers game. But then tomorrow, more stations will be covering the Bucks as they are home to host the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow. All right, today's history lesson and some musical memories coming up in just a bit on this Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio. You're up north. There's heavy on my mind. The group was Fleetwood Mac. The album was Rumors, and it hit number one for the first time on this day in 1977.
That's my year.
Your year?
That's when You're I was claiming? Born.
Okay. Well, there's no doubt that in utero you were exposed to the gang singing hit after hit after hit after hit on the Rumors album, which spent an astonishing 31 non-consecutive weeks at the number one spot on the album chart. It was a force, to put it mildly. Yeah.
Even like I didn't come to know Fleetwood Mac until I was in my, teens. Uh-huh. Even they were still huge with that record back then. That was the 80s.
Yes. Yeah. And I suppose some folks might say, well, you know, it was also the disco era, and so it was a nice break from disco. Perhaps, but still, it was just good music.
Yes!
You know? And so, there you go. 1977 on this date. We'll play a few more cuts from Rumors throughout the course of the day here. Oh, by the way, I want to correct on the Brewers game today. I said, it might be 3:05. It might be 3:15. Greg?
3:10.
3:10. Should have split the difference. 3:10 is when these things
and
get
that's when we get all of the angry phone calls.
I know. Who got it wrong by 5 minutes? I'm so sorry.
Take your liberal message and incorrect baseball games and straight to hell.
Let's see. We've got some birth anniversaries today. Singer-songwriter Leon Russell was born this day in 1942.
I'm up on the tightrope. One side's hate and one is hope.
Leon Russell passed away in 2016. This is also the 85th anniversary of the birth of Marvin Gaye, who died. Was it just yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday was the anniversary of his death. It was just a day before what would have been his birthday at the time. But 85 years ago today, Marvin Gaye was born. Happy birthday to Emmylou Harris. The country legend is 77 years old today.
2 months later, got trouble in mind.
Oh, my baby. Did you ever see the Ken Burns country music documentary?
All
No, and I've wanted to. I've not seen it yet.
They use Emmylou Harris in there as a really great storytelling tool, as a hub of someone who loved folk music and singer-songwriter and was like, no thank you, country. And then was exposed to it and became this ambassador, this person who's like, I will bring it to the masses. And that's what she did.
And just universally respected and loved by the music community.
Yes.
So she's going to get more than a little bit of love today on her 77th birthday. On this day in 1982, the Falklands War. Argentina invaded the Falkland Islands on this day in 1982. The Falkland Islands being a territory of the United Kingdom. So essentially, Argentina was declaring war on Great Britain. And I mean, it was a full-fledged war for several weeks there. Like, battleships were sunk, you know, on both sides and things like that. It was kind of, what was I, 17, 18 years old. It was surreal back then. Like, is this really happening? You know, Argentina versus Great Britain? Yeah, over a pile of rocks, basically.
Yeah.
There was nothing but sheep living on these things. But it got real ugly real fast this day in 1982. 70th birthday today for singer Gregory Abbott, who had this 1980s hit.
I'm glad you picked up on my telepathy now.
Oh, wow.
You know you did.
This brings me.
Oh, well. Gregory Abbott's 70 years old today. On this day in 1991, Lenny Kravitz released his second album, Mama Said, which included this hit single, which was a plea for reconciliation with his soon-to-be ex-wife, actress Lisa Bonet.
So many tears I cried, so much pain inside. You know what's really infuriating about Lenny Kravitz? So in the 90s, early 2000s, he cut his locks off and he had a different look. He's since grown his locks back. He looks exactly like he did back in 1991. Like, no age, none.
That's what I knew. I knew that's what you were going to say. Like, you know what I hate about Lenny Kravitz? Yeah, the fact that he will not
be handsome. If people were like, oh, Paul Rudd doesn't age and Patrick Stewart. No, Lenny Kravitz was frozen in time in 1991 and that's it.
Yeah, he did. And just so much talent as well. So,
oh, yeah.
Again, just a great song from an album released this day in 1991. It was on this day in 2014 that there was a shooting spree at Fort Hood in Texas that left 4 dead, 16 others injured. And again, raised the point of it isn't about needing a good guy with a gun. You're on an army base surrounded with weaponry. And, you're not going to get to your gun faster than the bad guy can shoot the bullets. The problem is the guns. We talked earlier about how Easter coincided with National Transgender Day of Visibility. And again, the coincidence of it, because Easter's on different dates every year, but these national dates, these commemorative dates, you know, they're fixed on the calendar. There were so many other things that were on the calendar that day. Look at today. Today is Autism Awareness Day. It's Children's Picture Book Day. It's Love Your Produce Manager Day today, Greg. So when you're at the supermarket there, you can love your produce manager, but don't love your produce manager. Don't squeeze the cantaloupe.
I want Ted right now. Hug.
Hug. It is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
Aw.
It's National Ferret Day.
Ugh.
It is National Reconciliation Day. It is Day of Action for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And finally, it is Ride Your Horse to a Bar Day, which we still tell the story here in Chippewa Falls of the time that we went to, it's now called the Sandbar. I forget what it was called, several years back. And we, pulled in one Saturday night or something, and there were two horses tied up outside, of this bar in Lake Wissota. Went in and, a couple of ladies were there, hooting and a hollering, I guess you would say. And they let people know, they didn't want to hassle with a DUI. So they brought their horses to the bar. So it does happen that people will take their trusty steed. Mm. And in fact, I learned when I was doing a little bit of genealogy research and found a branch of my family tree out in the Montrose, Minnesota area, which is just west of Minneapolis. I got to meet some distant relatives there. They were telling some stories, and one of them was of my, would have been great-great-grandfather. and how he liked to go into town with his horse and his wagon, you know, kind of like, you know, today's pickup truck, basically. And once he had a few too many barley pops and could not really function, so folks at the bar threw him into his wagon behind his horse, slapped that horse on the backside, and, you know, his wife found him in the morning still in the bed of the wagon. The horse knew how to get home.
Why didn't we see that on Little House on the Prairie?
That's a very valid question. We really should see more of that. Coming up in our next hour, we